Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our sermon this morning is our second lesson for today that is bracketed by these verses. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed, we arose this morning to worship under the broad umbrella of freedom. We drove to church this morning safely. We begin to move in earnest with our building project because we received our permits. All of these good things are the direct result of us living under government on some level. Government, Martin Luther said, is God's left hand. The right hand, of course, is the gospel and the church. But with his left hand, God reaches down and establishes governments on this earth. And he establishes those governments for good on earth, for the good of all people on earth, but especially for the sake of the church. God does not command or establish one particular type of government over another. He establishes all forms of government. Christians here in our country and around the world live under a variety of those forms of government, some more in tune with their God-given responsibilities than others. We are blessed, aren't we, to live in a place where we have many more freedoms than most. God has privileged us indeed, but it is not the form of government or the amount of agreement the government has with God's will or not. What kind of government it is or not are not the reasons for our obedience. They're not the reason for our submission. God puts rulers over us, and with the fourth commandment, he commands us to honor, to serve, and to obey them, and to hold them in high regard. We look this morning at the Christian citizen. And we see, first of all, that the Christian citizen, wherever he lives, or she lives, is living under the government God has established. And no matter where he or she lives, the Christian is living and is obeying that government from love, out of a heart of faith. Paul's overriding theme in this section of his letter to the Romans is offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service, or your service from a heart of faith. He says that we have no outstanding debt to one another or to our neighbor except to love them as Christ has loved us. Earlier in chapter 12, the apostle applied those truths to our loving our neighbor in the church as we use a variety of gifts that God gives us as different members of the body working together for the common good. Now he makes the application of loving our neighbor to our lives as Christian citizens. And that's how this all fits together with our other lessons of turning from sin and repenting of them and loving God and our neighbor as Christ has loved us. We have this particular application in our second lesson about our relationship to the governing. The first recipients of this letter lived under the rule of Emperor Nero in the Roman Empire. Enough said. Christians who have lived after Nero have lived under governments that God established who were sometimes better and sometimes were actually, believe it or not, much worse. God establishes all governments on earth. But that doesn't mean, however, that those who govern in them will govern as God would like them to govern. And it doesn't mean that the governed can obey them or honor them if we agree with them or if we like everything that they're doing. The only time we can disobey the government is if it tells me directly to sin against God's will, either by doing something that is a sin or by not doing something that is love. Rebellion, revolution, anarchy are all sins. They're not only sins against those who govern, they are also sins against God. What is God's purpose for government? It is to take care of people in this world for this life. Paul says that those who govern, govern for the good of all people. We know from other places that the good of society benefits the church. As we have that freedom to arise and to come to worship in this place. God intends government to curb the coarse outbreak of sin by putting fear into the hearts of people to disobey and to harm others. God has given the government the power of the sword. The government may bear that sword in war. The government may bear that sword in punishing those who do evil. For example, in capital punishment. There are no qualifying statements with what the Holy Spirit teaches here through Paul. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. The Christian citizen, no matter what kind of government he or she lives under, is living under the government God has established. Whether that government rules well or not. Whether I agree with everything that government does or not. But the Holy Spirit says if the government requires taxes, then pay your taxes. The government governs full time for the good of its citizens, and that's our good. If you and I have to pay revenue, we pay revenue. And the difference in the words here really indicates the difference between the taxes we pay on April 15th or quarterly. Revenue has more to do with the sales tax and property taxes and the sort of daily revenue that we give to government in our lives. We are to honor the government, to respect those who govern, to look at those in national, state, and local authority as God's gift to us, rather than to degrade them. In these outward forms of obedience and civic righteousness, you and I are really no different than unbelievers. Sometimes people confuse civic righteousness or civil righteousness with Christianity. They're not the same thing. There are many people who are not believers who are civically righteous, who obey the laws, who pay their taxes, who in positions of authority govern in what's left of the good of the natural law as they work to make laws that are going to benefit others. But that is merely outward righteousness or outward obedience. It really has nothing to do with the heart. It really has nothing to do with faith. And here is the difference that Paul points out now in the second part of our text. In the first part, you and I are obeying the government because God has placed it over us. And our outward obedience is the same as others who do not believe in Him. But you and I don't obey the government and honor and respect the government just out of fear of punishment. But we also obey them because of our conscience. And that's what Paul says. Don't obey just out of fear of punishment, but obey out of conscience. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about last summer when we were doing topical sermons and we talked about holy baptism and how that gives me, God gives me the promise of a clear conscience through my baptism. And we said that that's the conscience that I can have now because all my sins have been forgiven. It is that freedom for which Christ has set us free to now obey God's will and to desire to do what He wants us to do. Here's the difference between the Christian citizen and the non-Christian citizen. The non-Christian citizen obeys only out of fear of punishment or the desire for reward. The Christian citizen obeys and honors and respects and serves and speaks well of those who are doing the governing, even if we disagree with them. And thankfully, we are able to do that in this country. But we do those things because God has loved us in Christ. And we now have that outstanding debt to love our neighbor as Christ has loved us. When you and I fear, love, and trust God and honor, serve, and obey those in authority, we are doing that out of love, appreciation, thanksgiving to God for that gift out of a heart of faith. You and I don't obey just because of the fear of our old Adam, but we also obey now out of the holiness and new will of our new man. Jesus Christ has covered our sins with His blood. He has loved us, even when we don't always function the way He wants us to. Even when we do not look at His blessings as blessings. Even when we have a legitimate concern or argument, and then that turns into a personal attack through a cartoon or a joke or something else that we might say, degrading those whom God has placed over us. You and I want the commands of God to be obeyed according to the new man. The world doesn't. And so we do what we can do. Paul says, do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. The Christian citizen wants to protect marriage. The Christian citizen wants to protect life. The Christian citizen wants to protect property and to be satisfied with what God has given us, even if it's not always what we want, or even if it isn't always doing for us what we expect. We do that out of love. We do that in love from faith in our Savior. And what is true of the governed is true also of the governing. The governing do not always seek God's will. They don't always encourage us to carry out all things that God wants us to do. What do we do in a situation like that? Well, we look to the verse right before our text. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If the government is being evil, if one of our neighbors is being evil to us, we don't overcome them by being evil like them. We overcome them by doing what's right, by obeying in love, loving them in faith in that love with which Christ has loved us. You and I understand, as Lutheran Christians, that our country can never be a theocracy. In other words, we're never going to get the United States to be ruled directly by God and directly according to His will. At the same time, we know that there are good men and women in government who are not Christians, but who have that remnant of the sense of right and wrong according to the natural law, and they strive to make laws and do things that are beneficial for society as a whole, and work against those who do not see that and do things that are damaging to society. But Luther also said the second best thing after being a preacher or teacher of God's word is to be in government. For a Christian to be in government. Because even recognizing that you have to act within the laws of the country, recognizing that you can't make it a theocracy, recognizing that everybody is not going to be motivated by love or guided by God's word, the Christian who governs still can, as much as possible, use that love for God that flows from faith to strive and to see that this world in which we live is a safe and productive place for all people to live. And by doing that, then we are fulfilling the law because we are loving our neighbor. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. There's only one commandment, and that's love. Love God, love your neighbor. And we do that because you and I cling to that love that God has had for us in Jesus. That love you received last night when once again you prayed, Father, forgive me for all the sins I committed today. I intended not to do them. I didn't really want to do them. I hate myself for doing them. I think maybe I'm going to go to hell because I did them. But no, I know that you forgive me. I know that you love me in Christ. And with that love, I'm going to strive now to continue to love you and to love my neighbor. And in spite of myself, even love those whom you have placed over me in authority because they are your representatives. They are the ones that you have placed over me for my good, and I'm certainly going to pray for them that those things that they do will be for the good of society and for the good of the church. I think you'll join me in thanking God that we don't live under Nero in the Roman Empire. And we are blessed that we do not live under a government that is worse than that one, or maybe like that one today. Yet, it is not the quality of an earthly kingdom that motivates our love and respect. It is our membership in the kingdom of God that compels our sincere submission. Amen.